You're listening to the Body Pros coverage of the 49th Annual InterScience Conference on Antimicrobial Agents and Chemotherapy, also known as ICAC 2009. The conference took place in San Francisco, California, from September 12th to September 15th, 2009.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
I'm Dr. Lisa Dunkel. I'm the senior author on the paper, and I'm executive director of the HIV Clinical Research Group at Schering. This is reporting effectively the second 48 weeks of our phase 2 trial. The first 48 weeks was a double-blind study of dose selection study of two doses, 20 and 30 milligrams of Vicrovirox versus placebo on top of an optimized background regimen. At the completion of those 48 weeks, any patient who wanted to was allowed to go on to open label 30 milligram once daily of Vicrovirox, and 85 of the original 114 patients went on to the extension. And that's what we're reporting here, is the safety and long-term efficacy in those 85 patients. And I think you can see that the baseline characteristics are reasonably comparable of most other studies of patients who are treatment experienced in HIV.
Could you go through them a little bit?
Certainly. The mean age is about 45 years. We did have 20% women. The study was heavily conducted in Latin America, so there's a heavy representation of Latin Americans and multiracial patients. Baseline CD4 count was around 350. This is after having started at about 250. So they really had done well during the double blind phase of the study, and they were mostly pretty well suppressed. You can see their mean HIV RNA. At the end of 48 weeks in the beginning of this study, they were down to 2.5 logs. So more than half of the patients were fully suppressed, less than 50, and about 3/4 of the patients were below 400. So they continued on Vicrovirox 30 milligrams once daily with their optimized background regimen, and we have a mean duration of exposure of 13 months in this portion of the trial. You can see that patients' viral suppression remained pretty well stable in the 60 to 75, 80% below 400 and below 50, and that there continued to be an increase in the CD4 count over the 48 weeks of this portion of the study. The adverse event profile was very encouraging, without any serious significant adverse events, no seizures, no hepatotoxicity.
What was the most common adverse event?
The most common was upper respiratory infections. You can see about 13% of patients had that. This does not constitute anything that I'd be very concerned about.
So there was no GI stuff?
No, not really. No seizures, a rate of malignancy that was comparable to this population in general. And only one patient during the second 48 weeks of the study went from R5 to dual mixed virus and tropism. So, by and large, patients have done quite well on this drug for a good long period of time, and we're very, very encouraged by the whole outcome.
And how does this CCR5 inhibitor compare to Maraviroc?
Well, it has the same mechanism of action. Its major differentiating features are the pharmacokinetics, which allow a single once daily dose of 30 milligrams without any necessity to adjust the dose depending on what other drugs are in your regimen. It's once a day, small pill. And the safety profile, we've not seen the cardiovascular or the hepatocellular toxicity that has been described with Maraviroc. So we think it has probably a somewhat nicer convenience and safety profile, but in terms of mechanism of action, it's the same.
And in terms of resistance profile?
The resistance profile is probably reasonably comparable. Resistance is slow to emerge. It's very infrequent. And I think we only had three or four patients in this whole study who became resistant to the drug. So,
is there cross-resistance between Maraviroc and Vicrivir?
We've tested it in a couple of isolates, and it appears that there is. It may be something that's variable. I'm not sure enough of the isolates have been tested to really understand that.
And in terms of the viral suppression, is that comparable to Maraviroc?
It has roughly the same potency, yes.
Just related to this, are you excited about the new genotype test that's going to be used?
We are. We think that when one needs a tropism assay, we'd like for it to be easy to get and reasonably priced and give you your answer as quickly and as accurately as possible. So we've actually been looking at alternative tropism assays for several years, and we don't have any particular interest in whose assay it is. We just want the patients and doctors to have the best thing available to them.
And how soon is it expected that this drug will be approved?
We expect to have a submission sometime early next year. We have still to talk with the FDA about the dossier and so forth. And how soon it would be approved is hard to predict.
Oh, you've only done studies in treatment-experienced patients?
We actually have a phase 2 trial in treatment-naive patients ongoing that's looking at a novel paradigm of treatment, comparing Vicrivirox plus boosted atazanavir to versus Truvada plus boosted atazanavir. And that's looking very promising in a phase 2 trial. And we anticipate a phase 3 trial in that same treatment design to start next year. So we think there's a real role for this drug and this mechanism of action in early treatment, early lines of treatment.
It's curious that there were only 85 people in this trial. Usually there's many more people in a trial of a new drug.
This is a phase 2 trial, and the original number was 114, and 85 of them rolled over into the extension. We have two phase 3 trials ongoing that will be completed in the next few months, and those are much larger. So,
okay, thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thanks for listening to the Body Pro's coverage of ICAC 2009. For more podcasts from this conference, as well as additional articles, interviews, and highlights, visit us online at thebodypro.com/ICAAC2009.